Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of Larsen & Toubro Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee the future performance of the company and may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I welcome you all to Larsen & Toubro's 4Q FY22 earnings call. From the senior management team, we have Mr. Sanjeev Sehgal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rohan Sehgal, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO. I will now hand over the call to the management team for the opening remarks, post which we can have the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Rohan.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to everybody present on the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call for Larsen & Toubro Limited. Along with me, I have Mr. Sanjeev Sehgal, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Santosh Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer and Company Secretary for Larsen & Toubro Limited, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. This is the first full year we have published post our IPO in November 2021. Firstly, we are delighted to share that your company has been able to achieve its highest ever revenue and profits in the history of Larsen in FY22. Our consolidated revenues have crossed rupees 300 crores mark, and profit after tax have crossed rupees 100 crores mark in the financial year FY22. Let me speak about the industry first. We have been seeing increased demand for labware products in India on the back of greater frequency of chronic diseases, improved healthcare infrastructure, and higher insurance penetration. Furthermore, increased investments in R&D and the expansion of the diagnostic centers in India are all driving up the need for laboratory products. We have also witnessed higher demand for plastic labware products since it is easy to handle, it's flexible and the cost is lower as compared to other non-plastic labware products. We estimate the size of the Indian plastic labware market at 1,200 crores and is growing at a range of 10%. At Larsen, we have outpaced the industry growth, and our revenues have increased by 31% for FY22. We are optimistic and hopeful of outperforming the industry growth in the years to come. Larsen is one of the leading suppliers of plastic labware products in India, with a 25% of market share for products which we are present into. Over the last four decades, Larsen has been able to develop the brand and trust for its products, and hence we are one of the preferred suppliers of labware products across the country in all end user markets. We work with almost all leading diagnostic pharmaceutical companies, contract research organizations, and academic institutions across the country. We have a strong distribution network of more than 140 distributors for our company across India. Along with the strong distribution network, we also have more than 50 salespeople who are in constant touch with the final end customers for product sales generation and cross-selling of our wide product portfolio. Along with our domestic sales, we work with 45 distributors across the globe for our export business. Our export revenue is also picking up and has grown by 31% in FY22, standing at rupees 100 crores, which is about one-third of the sales of FY22. We have been able to increase our presence globally with more acceptability of our products across various continents. We have two-pronged strategy for our export business. One, being the branded sales, which are sold under the brand Larsen, and one is the ODM sales, which is the white label business of the company. For FY22, our sales split between branded sales and ODM stood at  43:57 as compared to  38:62 in the previous FY21. We have been able to penetrate deeper in other geographies with the Larsen brand and are very optimistic of huge opportunities lying ahead of us from this segment. As mentioned in our previous call, we are in the expansion phase. We are working on expanding our manufacturing capacities for both existing and new products in a phased manner through construction of a new manufacturing facility in Panchla, West Bengal. The project is on track, and we target to commission new facility by H1 FY24. The new facility will also manufacture bioprocess and cell culture products, which has its own market size in India and abroad. With the addition of cell culture products and enhancing our capabilities and capacities for PCR products, we are optimistic of gaining the same dominant market share in India for these product lines as well in the years to come. We are also planning to develop a new fulfillment center in Amta, West Bengal, to consolidate and expand our warehouse operations. At the same location, we also aim to do backward integration in the manufacturing process by building an in-house sterilization center for captive consumption. Our target to complete this project is also H1 of FY 2024. At all our facilities, we continue to invest in automation and reduce human error and improve throughput and efficiencies for better productivity. Our key strategies going forward will be to expand product portfolio, focus on branding, and keep innovating new products, enhance our manufacturing capacities to leverage growth, increase our presence in overseas markets with a twofold approach of ODM and branded business. We intend to export to more than 120 countries in the next 8 to 10 years, enhance operational efficiencies through the use of higher automation. Going forward, I would also like to reiterate that with multiple levers like growing lab-grown domestic market and huge addressable market for exports giving us a huge runway for growth, we are optimistic of the future to come. Let me now hand over the call to Mr. Santosh Agarwal, our CFO, for operational and financial highlights for the quarter and 9 months ended FY 2022.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q4 and FY 2022 earnings call. We have uploaded our latest investor presentation in the stock chain for our Q4 and FY 2022 results. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We are delighted to share that we have been able to grow our revenue ahead of the industry growth due to the trust and brand created for customers for so many decades. On the revenue front, revenue from operation for Q4 FY 2022 stood at 85 crore as compared to 68 crore in Q4 FY 2021, a growth of 26% approx on YoY basis. Our revenue growth was almost equal among the domestic and export market. For FY 2022, domestic and export market revenue grew by approx 31% for Q4 FY 2022. Domestic growth business grown by 24% and export business grew by approx 31%. Our sales split for domestic versus export stood at 2/3 and 1/3 respectively. Our sales split within the export market was approx 43% from the branded sales and 57% approx from ODM sales, as compared to approx 38% for branded and approx 62% for ODM in FY 2021. The sales growth was driven by higher demand across end user industry and export. On the gross profit level, our gross profit for Q4 FY 2022 stood at 66 crore approx as compared to approx 52 crore in Q4 FY 2021, a growth of approx 28%. Our GP for full year FY 2022 stood at approx 238 crore, a growth of approx 42%. GP margin for FY 2022 stood at approx 79.1% as compared to approx 73.1% in FY 2021, up by almost 600 basis points. At the EBITDA level, EBITDA for Q4 FY 2022 stood at approx 44 crore, which as against 35 crore rupees in Q4 FY 2021, a YoY growth of approx 27%. EBITDA was up by approx 34% sequentially. EBITDA for FY 2022 stood at 153 crore rupees as compared to 103 crore rupees in FY 2021, a stellar growth of 48%. EBITDA margin for Q4 FY 2022 were 52.2%, and for FY 2022, EBITDA margin stood at 50.8%, up by 560 basis points YoY basis. At the PAT level, PAT for Q4 FY 2022 stood at approx 30 crore rupees as compared to approx 24 crore rupees in Q4 FY 2021, a growth of 25%. PAT for FY 2022 stood at approx 101 crore rupees as compared to 69 crore rupees in FY 2021, a significant jump of 46%. PAT margin for FY 2022 stood at 36.5% a growth of approximately 340 basis points as compared to the same period last year. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations for the stellar numbers. First of all, is there any one-off in this quarter's number? Because the QOQ, the sales increased substantially around 21%.
Hi. No, we don't see any one-off in our revenues in this quarter. We believe that this is the base for the next year, and we expect to continue to grow in the same momentum in this financial year and beyond.
In the past 2 years, the company has grown around 30% plus, almost 30%. So can we expect this such kind of run rate would be continuous by?
I think in the medium to long term, definitely, with the exception, there could be a few quarters here and there, but we have a large expansion planned, as we said in our opening comments. So two large facilities coming up, lots of new products coming up, lots of capacity expansions with the domestic market increasing rapidly, as well as the international market opening up very well for us. We see the growth to be maintained in the years to come, at least in the next 3 to 5 years.
But the domestic market, you said, are growing at 10%, and the company is growing 30%. So it would be a substantial growth for the company. So your market share, you said, around 35%, right?
25% in the products we operate.
35% in the product company?
25% in the products we operate.
So that you already had a year back also 25%. This year, you grew 30%, and the market grew just 10%. So have you not gained the market share?
No, we are present in about 50% of the market, and we have 25% of that market. So there's another large market opening up for cell culture, PCR, bioprocess products. We are not present. So having a base of zero, we expect way higher growth than industry standards in the first 3 to 5 years till we stabilize growth.
So your domestic market is around 200 crore, right? And your covered market is 600 crore. So it shows around 33% market share for market.
That is why we expect that we are 25% of the market in which we are present in. We are not present in the entire market.
Just to add, whatever data we are talking about of 1,200 crore base, that is related to the prior year, right? We are comparing with the number of this year, so that will not hold.
Yeah, and the market has expanded as well. This is based on Frost & Sullivan's report, which is dated.
Got it. Got it.
About 12 months early.
Is there PCR contributing to our revenue?
That's right. Yes.
So it is a meaningful or just a minuscule currently?
No, it's a new product line, and it's not been present for a long time. So we will continue to see higher growth as the years move on. It just was an effect of about a few months of revenue in this gone-by financial year. So this is going to be the first full year for PCR products in FY23, and I think we will keep looking at higher growth as we move ahead in PCR.
Another question on your cost front. So almost all the costs are elevated. So company is facing any issues, or company has passed on their cost to the end user?
I think we are looking to pass on most of our costs to end users, but that cannot be aligned perfectly. Sometimes costs come earlier, and the passing on comes a little later. So as you know, it's an inflationary environment with all input costs increasing. We are in a good space, so we might face a quarter or two where we might see certain cost pressures. But overall, in the long term, we are in good space because we We will look to pass on most or all of our costs or all of the higher input costs which we are facing all across the board.
Your margin has increased around 500 basis points continuously from past 2 years almost. So would you expect that this would be a sustainable kind of margin, or still be expecting to be a growth increase in the margins from here on as well?
I don't think it's very possible to grow from these margins. I think we are at the peak of the margins. We believe that the margins will only grow based on the volume growth and the revenue growth what we have in the same ratios. We expect to keep similar margins to what we've achieved in FY 2022 moving forward.
Great. Thanks a lot. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jaiveer from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for taking my question. Rohan, firstly, could you highlight the extent of price hike that you might have taken for this year in both your domestic as well as the export markets and in the export across both your branded and ODM sales?
The domestic market price hikes were taken on 1st of April on an average median of about 5%-7%. The thing is, it's not a straight up price increase because there are a lot of ongoing contracts. On 1st of April, the entire domestic market does not face the 5%-7% price increase. It happens in a phased manner, and we see 100% in about 2 months-3 months, maybe around 1st of July. In the international market, we have taken a price hike around 1st of March as well, and I think the time period across the globe would also be about 4 months-5 months because people and distributors have existing commitments and existing contracts, and it's not possible to pass it over on the same, you know, very same day of announcing the price rise.
Sure. Will the price hike be similar for both your branded as well as ODM sales? Because we understand probably you don't have a lot of pricing power when it comes to the ODM part because of the relationship you would like to maintain.
Absolutely. I agree completely, and it would be a mix, and we would like to balance that out so that overall, when we look at the higher input costs of the company, we try to cover as much as possible. Our endeavor is to cover 100%. I think we would be somewhere in and around that mark.
Also, Rohan, you would note that Borosil has taken price hikes to the tune of 15%-20%. Same for Fisher Scientific as well. Could you just highlight the reason why the price hikes taken by Grasim have been lower versus the competition?
I think the thing about Borosil is that most of the product lines they manufacture in the glass line, so I'm not really aware of the input costs which glass is facing since we are not present in that business. Similarly, for Fisher Scientific, they manufacture a very wide range of product lines, and there could be equipment, reagents and other product lines which are offering, which are needing a higher price hike as compared to plastics. For Fisher, plastics is probably 10% or lower of the entire business volume in India.
Sure. Probably I'll flip the question around. Now, given that, we did not see much of the RM inflation impact during the fourth quarter, given you already hold roughly 3 months of inventory. Given that-
Right.
The crude oil prices are already 25%-30% up over the last quarter. What kind of RM price increase are you witnessing since the last quarter? I mean, since the end of 4Q FY 2022 or probably the new purchases you might have made.
We would have witnessed a lot of cost pressures in Q4 FY 2022 itself, but because of supply chain disruptions, we've maintained higher inventory levels. Hence we had a lot of spillover inventory from earlier periods because of the huge inventory levels. I think raw material prices escalated right from September end, October till about March, April. Right now we see a little bit of a cooling off. Prices have begun to taper off, started falling a little bit, have maintained constant levels. At this moment, input costs for us have remained stagnant or have started cooling off a little bit. It isn't in the same speed as what it was 3 months ago.
What the quantum of price hike that you have taken, would that be able to offset all of the RM increases are you facing?
Yes. Mostly, it would be able to look, you know, take care of raw material as well as packaging, which are the two main input cost increases for us as a company.
Sure. That's really helpful. Lastly, in terms of your peak revenue potential, could you just highlight where the current capacities stand after all the CapEx that you have already incurred, and how is it relative to where the capacities were, let's say, a year back in FY 2021?
So I think our current capacities and our current facilities would keep us in a good position to maintain a good growth for this year, as well as half of next year before our facilities come into place to aid growth moving forward. As I said in my earlier call as well, it's very difficult to define capacity because we have 1,700 SKUs spread over maybe less than 5% of that in machines, 50, 60 odd machines. But I could tell you that about top selling of our products, which are top 25% of our products, I think the available machine hours would be less than 5%. And on the remainder products, it would vary between 15% to 30% of machine hours available. So we still have enough bandwidth in our current setup, as well as new capacities coming in our current setup over the next 12 to 18 months to manage growth for us until the new facilities come on and take over for the next phase of growth.
Sure. That's really helpful. Thanks a lot, Rohan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Edelweiss Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. So just to clarify, that you also said that you will able to maintain your margin, as well as you are saying that the RM pressure is there, and now the which the low inventory RM you had already utilized. So how to maintain this margin?
So RM pressure has been there now for the last 6 to 7 months, but over the last 2-3 months we've seen the pressure tapering off. And we don't see further increases. In some places, we have started seeing decrease in pricing of RM as well. I think we will be able to maintain our margins moving forward by having due price increases, which we've already started implementing from 1st of April, and which we expect to be 100% implemented in the next month or two. And I think with improved efficiencies in manufacturing, larger volumes, larger output, we will be able to maintain our margins in and around the level where we are currently.
Okay. And the second thing you pointed out around the contract, ongoing contract business. So
right.
How much is the contribution from the ongoing contract, and how much of the price hikes you are able to pass on there?
So most of our business is contractual, and we have very few non-contractual businesses. You have customer contracts, you have customer commitments, and sometimes when the contracts are have a very, very long extension period, maybe 12 months, 16 months, 18 months from now, you have no other option but to implement price increases in the middle of the contract, because you cannot wait 18 months. But when you have a price implementation increase on 1st of April and a contract is expiring on 1st of June or 1st of May or 1st of July, you give that 3-month leeway period as a strong relationship gesture, because you've been working with these companies. We've been working with these companies for the last 1, 2, 3 decades. So it all depends from case to case basis. There is no one fixed thumb rule.
So it's like a 3-month lag is there to pass on the prices at least.
No, it's not a 3-month lag. It is not a 3-month lag. It is basically depends from case to case. So if it is expiring soon and there is viability for us to hold on, then it's fine. Suppose I have a contract today which is expiring in June of 2024 or June of 2023, it's too long a period for me to continue with old pricing. So I have to look at it from case to case basis.
Okay, fine. Next question is related to the the margin difference between the branded and the ODM business.
The margin difference between the branded international business and the ODM international business is almost similar. The difference between the gross margin of the international business and the domestic business is slightly higher, and the international business is slightly lower. But overall on the EBITDA levels, the business is almost equal, because overhead costs in the domestic business are drastically higher than that of the international business.
Okay. And can you give that for this year, how much revenue generated from your top 10 clients, distributors?
No, we don't have that information on hand. But what we have is that since most of our business in India and international is contributed through distribution, we believe that the top 10 distributors account for about 50% of our business.
Okay. And lastly, on the plant expansion, the Panchla is August 23 that will come in.
Yeah, approximately that's the end mark. It could happen slightly before that. And the problem is that our we have been completely successful, and we are on track to complete the entire civil infrastructure and build the entire Panchla building by January end or February of 2023. But most of our equipment and most of our machineries are being imported from various parts of the world. And as you know, components, PLCs, and various other electronic components, there is a global shortage. And it is only the machine deliveries which would, you know, delay the project and take it up to July or August 2023. If everything was in line in terms of imports, then we could have started much earlier, because our infrastructure and our construction bit would be ready by February 2023.
Okay. The last one is...
Sorry,
is it possible,
Mr. Pravin Sahib, may I request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitul Mehta from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on very good numbers in difficult times.
Thank you.
Sir, my question is on your gross block turnover. You know, historically we've been operating at less than one, closer to 0.7, 0.8 times. Is this the inherent nature of the business, or do you believe that there is a scope of improvement as we move along and get our new capacities kicked in? Because the reason why I asked you is that, you know, in the event of slowdown or any adverse impact on the business, since it's a very high fixed cost business, you know, it could affect us significantly as far as our margins go. So can you please allude on this particular point?
Yes, this is the nature of our business, because we built our facilities and our infrastructure based on global leaders from Europe and the US. We have a very high level of top-end automation and robotics, which drives up the fixed assets. If you did not do the business this level and did it highly manually with low end tooling and low end machines, then the fixed asset level would be very, very low, and the variable costs, such as cost of laborers working in the factory and other costs, would be significantly higher.
Globally the parameters are similar, or we are slightly better than most of
the top five companies in the world? The top five companies in the world in terms of technology, turnover and size, their total fixed asset would be in the range of 0.55 to 0.65. So we are marginally better, because we take advantage of certain economies of scale of cheaper manpower and resource at our facilities for certain applications, but that's because of the geography and the place where we are present in.
And do you foresee any kind of slowdown in your business as we go along? I know that you are expanding your capacity, you're putting up a new factory, that of course comes with a lot of visibility, but given the fact that, you know, the world has become very uncertain, if there are any issues as far as our slowdown is concerned, then can it hit us very badly because of the sheer lower asset costs?
See, we are in the business of actually healthcare, or, you know, research, diagnostics. These are areas which continuously expand, because this is one of the biggest concerns of the world at this moment and from the last 24 months. So at this moment, I do not see any external risk factors which would slow down our business. Of course, there had been a huge spike in the business during the period of COVID, which has now completely tapered off. But luckily for us, we did not have supernormal growths during COVID period and grew at only about 28 to 30% year over year because of limited capacities. So our basis, what we have achieved in the two COVID years, continue to remain as the base for further growth in the years to come.
And how much money are we investing in the new plant?
we had discussed about the CapEx, which was about 410 crores, which included all infrastructure as well as machines and equipment. But I expect that to go significantly higher by about maybe 25% because of increased costs of equipment, because all of that is made out of metal. Stainless steel prices at an all-time high, and similarly, infrastructure and construction costs at both our facilities have gone exorbitantly higher over these last 12 months because of higher input costs in construction materials.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mehta. May I request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for
your turn. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your question to one per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Harshal Sethia from Omid Fund Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Continuing on the previous participant's question, so you said that our CapEx cost is going to increase by around 20-25%. Does this mean that our asset turnover will go down, reduce, say, from 0.8 times to 0.6 times due to this increase in cost?
It may not increase, it may not decrease that much, because we are seeing with higher input costs, pricing of a lot of these products increasing as well. And since this is a global phenomenon for all manufacturers who are doing capacity expansions, which most of the manufacturers globally are, as our industry is experiencing unprecedented and much higher growth levels. So I see that realization costs might increase slightly, so there would be a decline in the asset turnover levels, but not, I don't feel that significant decline.
Okay. Sir, our major raw material as of today is the crude oil prices, which would impact it, right?
No, not really, because we manufacture from 75% of our raw materials are specialized grades of plastic, and these are dependent more on the demand and supply rather than the crude oil prices.
Okay. Secondly, going forward, earlier you said that the whole global market is an upwards of 50,000 crore market for us. How do we see ourselves making a mark in the global markets?
At this moment, our entire focus over the next 18 to 24 months is to successfully implement, integrate, and make both these new facilities self-reliant and ensure that the output levels are at its peak. And once both these new facilities are stabilized over the next 18 to 24 months, we will look at different strategies to grow our international markets.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Parekh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rohan. Congratulations on a stellar set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. The first one being, our capacity is getting on stream in H1 FY24. And as you said, the 25% of our top-selling products have machine availability of less than 5%. So what kind of revenue growth should we assume in the interim? I appreciate the fact that, you will have a 5 to 7% price hike across your business, so that will aid in the revenue growth. But from a volume perspective, what is the volume growth that we can see from current capacity?
In terms of volume growth, we have enough bandwidth at this moment in our existing facilities to aid us in similar growth levels to what we've achieved in the last 2 to 3 years. That means around 20 to 25% odd. But the more important factor would be to see how we'd be able to execute the same and how the market would look like in the next 8 to 9 months. The world is a little bit unstable at this moment with, a lot of supply chain disruptions. Importing and exporting has become more difficult with lesser container availability. So there would be these sort of things which would be more challenging rather than achieving growth. I think internally we have all the resources, but we have to depend on a lot of external factors like container availability, import of raw material, and such factors would play a greater role than our internal capacities.
Fair enough. My second question is on the CapEx being commissioned, which is cell culture. Can you just speak a little more about the segment? What are the products? What is the competition? What is our strategy to gain market share? And just some more color on that.
I wouldn't want to speak much on the cell culture and bioprocess because that's a little, you know, it's competitive and there's a competitive industry, and that would be a little sensitive information at this point of time. But the major players would be Thermo Fisher Scientific, Corning, Greiner Bio One, Sarsted. These would be the four big players globally. And the cell culture market is divided into two markets. One is the academic market, which is used in research and academic institutions, product lines. And the other one is the bioprocess market, which is used in industries. And it is more larger volume product, which is actually used for bioproduction or which is used in industries. I think in a phased manner, we look to enter into the complete line of cell culture products. And it's a fairly sizable market today in India. I believe about 30 to 35% of the total market size in India belongs to this entire cell culture line. And globally as well, it's a very significant market with about probably a fourth or about 25 to 30% of the total market belonging to these product lines.
And margins for this would be superior to our current consolidated margins?
I think, again, it's too early to comment whether it would be superior or not, but I believe it should definitely be in line with what we are achieving today. Overall, with the volumes, you know, the bioprocess could be slightly lower because it's production-related and the academic could be slightly higher since it's research-related. But overall, it keeps us in good stead as a company and should be in and around where we are today.
Okay. And my last question is around your working capital intensity. You've done a great job in managing it through a difficult period. Do you think that can we eke out any more improvement in working capacity, or do you think that this is a good level to forecast for as well?
No, I think this is a good level, and the only improvement what we can expect is because customer credit periods cannot be contracted anymore. I think we're doing a good job in our customer collections. Most of our vendors, because of the SME rule, we have to pay within a certain time period, and raw material, about 75 to 80% of our raw material is imported from the western part of the world. And I think the only way we can slightly improve our working capital cycles is if the supply chain gets back to pre-COVID levels. At this moment, the supply chain is slightly disrupted, so we see longer delivery periods for products what we've paid in advance and cash. And that could be one factor. And the other factor is that there could be local availability of specialized grades of plastic being produced in India, which I don't see it as a possibility in the near or medium term. But when that happens, that would drastically bring down our working capital cycles. At this moment, we are heavily reliant on import.
Great. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Bora from Union Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Rohit, just last call you had indicated that at its peak, COVID was contributing about 30% of revenues. What part of financial year 21 was that? Would it be the first one?
So at 30% of revenues was the entire FY21, which was the 12 months. And so in that we saw the first four or five months was the lockdown period, followed by a little bit of cooling period towards Q3 of FY21, followed by a peak COVID again in the Q4 around Jan-Feb-March of FY21. So overall, I think about 25-30% odd revenues in the entire FY21 came from probably COVID. It's very difficult to give you an exact number because we don't sell to end customers, we sell through distribution, so the data cannot be as clear as selling to the final customer.
No, this is very helpful. But I'm going to assume that fourth quarter FY22 had very little COVID as such. And in that backdrop, this growth appears very strong. On a core basis, the business has grown even faster. Can you comment what has driven this growth? Is it largely PCR? I mean, appears to be a very strong growth. Can you just call it some more backdrop on this?
I think it's not any particular product line which has triggered this growth. As I've mentioned in the previous earnings call as well as a lot of investor calls, that the market has been left in a better position post-COVID. COVID has expanded the market for good, and maybe 60-70% of the demand was one-off, but it has left back about 30% or 25% of industry expansion. So there is greater focus on research, greater spending, There is greater focus on health. So overall, the market is in a better position than what it was pre-COVID. And it's the expanded market, our expanded product line, our greater penetration in the Indian market, our growing strength of our brand as we come into more and more complex products similar to what was only available from multinational companies. I think it's a factor of a lot of combinations which is playing to our favor. And this is giving us this expanded growth.
Great. You will maintain this guidance of 500 crores of revenue by FY25 shortly after this performance. So nothing changes on that.
I believe so. Yes, nothing changes on that.
So just one more question was on the PCR market. So would our aspiration be to have similar market share like what we have had in the other labware market? Just from our long-term perspective, would we expect that to be also our target?
Yes, I think we've had a very successful launch of our PCR products. It has been well received and we have almost 85 to 90% of the PCR product line in the plastic consumable segment available with us as we speak today. And I believe that as per past history, it takes us about 4 to 5 financial years in most product lines to have a dominant or a market leadership position in the country. And we expect no different from the PCR product line as well as expanded growth in the international markets as well.
Perfect. I just have one big bookkeeping question. This 70 crores non-current asset, so can you just highlight what is that? It seems like a large increase. What is it pertaining to for financial year 22?
Yeah, this is the capex advance we have given. 70 crores
non-current. Got it. Thank you. That's all from us. It's all the better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shirom Kapoor from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. The line of the participant got disconnected. We'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Hardik Doshi from Whitewell Partners LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question.
May I request Mr. Doshi to speak a little louder, sir? We cannot hear you clearly.
Is it better?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. I had a question about the addressable market. So I think you mentioned that of the products that you know you manufacture, you have about a 25% market share in the domestic side. So are we planning to kind of, introduce newer ones to kind of expand to the rest of the addressable market in India? That's number one. And number two is, where do you think this market share naturally caps out? I mean, you're already at 25%. How much higher can we go?
I think both the new facilities are targeting to expand our product line and get us closer to about 100% of the addressable market in India. 100% would never be possible, and I believe that we would always be 5-10% lower than the complete addressable market in the country. So the realistic target would be about 90%. And I believe that with the new products, there would be an expansion in the newer product revenues as well as it would boost up the older product revenues as well because our basket grows. At this moment, it would be very difficult to place a number, but I believe that we would continuously expand this number from the 25%.
Okay. I mean, I guess what I was trying to get to is, are there any structural caps in terms of, you think, I mean, can we get to 50%, for example, or that would be too much of a stretch in terms of market share for India?
I don't see any problem in getting to 30%, but as I said, it's very difficult to place a number with what the future holds in the next 5 years. Looking at the current scenario, the current competitors, I feel that it's very much achievable as our product line grows. And being the only premier player in the country to manufacture such a wide range and a product line which is acceptable to the top-end pharma, research, diagnostic segments, I think we're in a very good place to continuously grow our market share.
Okay. And just related to this, from the export perspective, I mean, now it's become about 1/3 of our overall revenue. Obviously, this is a much bigger addressable market. If you had to look 3 to 5 years out, do you think, exports will be majority of our revenues going forward?
I don't think in the next 5 years it could be majority of our revenues, because there is a huge runway of growth available in the Indian market, and it's a market where which we are closest to, because we are present in India, and it is the market where we have a dominant leadership position. So I think Indian business would continue to grow very, very strongly over the next 4 to 5 years, and it would be very difficult for international business to topple this and become the majority of our business. And at this moment, we will continue to work with agents, importers, and distributors in international markets, and we do not have any inorganic or presence or subsidiary presence in any of the international countries. So unless we move into that phase of growth, I don't see the international market changing over and becoming the dominant portion of our revenue.
Okay, got it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shiram Kapoor from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, I dropped off previously. Just one question.
Mr. Kapoor, may I request you to speak a little louder, sir?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped off earlier on the call. So I see one of your strategies is, increase your brand awareness. It was, as mentioned, the investor presentation. So do we see any increased marketing or spend or some sort of that which could, more than normal, or which could have an impact on the margins?
Not at this moment, because as I mentioned in my previous answer, we still continue to work with agents and importers who do the bulk of our marketing and representation of our brand in their respective territories. But in the future, if we decide to move in inorganically or organically through our own subsidiaries, there will be increased expenditure not only in marketing as well as in people and remunerations. But at the same time, most of that would be offset by higher product realizations, because we get closer to the customer and don't rely on importers and distributors in those particular geographies. So overall, in the short term or interim, when we do that, there could be lowering margins. But in the medium term, the margin would fall back into place and at the same time give us a larger access to those markets.
Okay, thanks. And another question on your, focus on exports, and also you mentioned, trying to capture on the Make in India theme. So where is most of the international competition from? Is it from a particular country or region, like, for example, China? And, are you benefiting from any trends in kind of the China plus one theme?
So in India, the surprisingly, in India, the competition is not from China. It is more from Europe, the US, as well as Indian players inside India. But internationally, there's a very strong competition from China, especially from the top tier Chinese manufacturers. There are very two or three very strong companies which manufacture a very high quality level of products. And we see increased acceptance and increased entry into larger accounts which are dominated by the Chinese because of the Chinese plus one strategy coming into play.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my follow-up question. Did you say the COVID is approximately 25-30% of the entire industry revenue?
No, it was about 25-30%. It was 25-30% in FY21 of our company revenue. I did not say of the industry revenue.
And what about the FY22 then?
That would have probably contracted to about 50%, because apart from Q1 in FY22, we spent most of the year without or very little or negligible COVID revenues.
So we have a 50% of the revenue contribution approximately from the COVID. In FY22,
right.
Is it right?
Right.
So,
approximately, this is what we believe.
As the COVID is waning now in FY23, because
right.
We have a high base on the FY22, so we still believe that we have a such kind of growth in FY23 as well.
No, but the thing is, just like we grew 30% in FY22 when COVID revenues halved in FY22 from FY21, similarly, we expect the same thing to happen in FY23.
Got it. And about your gross margin in FY22 increased around 600 bps, despite the export and the domestic contribution is remained same. So what would be the reason for such high gross margin improvement cost is already elevated in FY22?
Certain product mix changes, I think larger, higher margin products would have contributed at a higher level as compared to the previous year, as well as certain value-added services like more radiated product as compared to non-sterile product. I think looking at the business from an EBITDA level would be a much stronger viewpoint. We aspire to maintain same EBITDA levels of around late 40s, touching 50%. That's what the aspiration is. The gross margin could always change based on geography mix as well as product mix.
Got it. Thanks, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Sehgal for closing comments.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. We will keep updating the investor community on a regular basis for incremental updates on your company. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or Sagar Shroff from Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Thank you once again and stay safe.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.